Well, we took a couple of weeks there for Easter time, and I hope all of you were blessed with family and friends and praising God. We're back into 1 Corinthians, book 1 Corinthians. We'll be starting chapter 12. Title is Jesus is Lord. Yes, by all means, huh? To give you just a brief little recap, there was a lot of problems going on at the Corinthian church at this time. Now, this had been a very, very blessed church. And what's exciting is for quite a few chapters, there were things that I had to teach on that I flat told God I didn't like teaching on it because it was on discipline and different areas, and that's not fun. This area we're going into is going to get really exciting. The next three chapters, we're going to be looking at spiritual gifts. There are misconceptions out there, and there are things that are incorrect. And this seems to be at the Corinthian church, on the teaching of spiritual gift is where there was a lot of tension, a lot of problems that were happening at this church. One of the things that I want everybody to understand as we go through this next three chapters on spiritual gifts, and don't forget this, I will remind you, that spiritual gifts, they are given by God, by the Holy Spirit, and always, always to glorify God. You cannot will a gift to yourself. You cannot be taught a gift. It is a spiritual gift given by God, given by the Holy Spirit. It does say, as we're looking, gifts, which is plural. And they are only given by the Holy Spirit. Period. And again, a person cannot say, well, I'm going to have the gift of whatever, fill in the blank. No. We are to pursue the gifts, as we'll see in chapter 14, verses 1. It says, eagerly pursue the gifts. You can ask God for the different ones. But we also have to understand is people, even here at this time, and even today, they'll gifts, claiming their spiritual gifts, and somehow they want to think they're more spiritual than others because of whatever gift they may or may not have. Understand, the Old Testament foretold of God pouring out His Spirit on man. Please put up for me Joel, passage in chapter 2 in Joel for me, please. This is in the book of Joel. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. So the Holy Spirit, the gift is for all. Men, women, sons, daughters, for all. And I want us to understand also, Jesus talked about the coming Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit was coming. Put up for me John 14, 15. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is given to believers only. Period. If you are not a believer and sold out on Christ as your Savior, you don't have the Holy Spirit. That is the gift right there. Also, look at John 14, 25 and 26. All this I've spoken while I'm still with you, Jesus is telling his disciples. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. You ever notice how when you're not sure and God will bring to you that scripture? That's the Holy Spirit. That'll bring it forth to you. That it's the Holy Spirit. It says he's going to do that. Jesus said, I will ask my Father. He will send him to you. He's going to do this. And I want us to understand when that Holy Spirit comes on believers, that comes to all believers. Men, women, young, old, whatever. And when the Holy Spirit does come, he comes in power. He comes in power. Put up for me Acts 1, please. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is what was being taught at the early church. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit is there for you to witness Christ to the lost. Mm-hmm. That's it. Sharing the gospel. The Holy Spirit. That's what you're to do. That's why he's coming. He does mention the witnesses in Jerusalem. I'm not in Jerusalem. Judea, Samaria. We're at the end. All the ends of the earth. That's us. Especially up here in beautiful feeling. That's us. That's all believers, folks. It is the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost came, it was a remarkable thing that happened. Every believer was gifted with the Holy Spirit to minister. To minister. It means every believer is to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You will not witness for Jesus Christ unless you have the Holy Spirit in you. That's it. So, yes, there are spiritual gifts. And we're going to get into that over the next three chapters, of course. And the gifts are to be used correctly. And I want to emphasize that. As God wants them to. Gifts are not given to the individual so that the individual is exalted. Nuh-uh. No. The gifts are given, and he will give them at specific time frames. To why? To witness Christ. That's what it's about. But what happened at the Corinthian church at this time, and it happens in churches even today, gifts can be misused. Spiritual gifts are used to reach the world for Christ. And definitely not, I'll say it again, not to glorify oneself. Not. It's not to be that way. And I want us to understand that. We're going to be getting into a lot here. And I know it shows on there I'm only getting three verses, excuse me. I really had to condense this down, so hang with me on all this. So it opens up, and let's read the first three verses. Boy, I'm on that. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray by mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one, speaking in the Spirit of God, ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Three here. So it opens up, and we're talking about, and we need to understand, we're talking about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. These are very, very special gifts. And they're given by God and by God alone. I cannot teach you any spiritual gift. Nor can anybody teach me any spiritual gift. It comes by the Holy Spirit. And only by the Holy Spirit. When a person becomes a believer, the Holy Spirit comes into that person, and the Holy Spirit will gift that person as needed to reach the world for lost. For Christ. It's all about it. You know how he'll gift some people to be evangelists. He will gift some people to be missionaries to go into the world. He will gift people to have using their talents that God has given them to exalt the Lord. So many people are given so many different talents, but they don't use them to exalt the Lord. Understand, and you can even use, and this was taught to me at way back when I was listening to at the time, and I'm going to go back, gosh, 30-some years ago or 25 years ago, and I happened to listen to Frank Sinatra. What a voice. My goodness. And so one night I was laying in bed and I was complaining to Cindy, man, I can't sing. Why can't I sing like him? Well, he's probably one of the greatest singers ever, right? Of course, I do want to be a baseball player too. I mean, I wasn't any talented at that either. And she just listened to me. And then she was talking to friends of ours. And I remember them ended up sending me an email and flat chewing me out. And I needed it. Because Frank Sinatra's never used his voice to glorify God. He was given a talent, and he didn't use it to glorify God. And then they said, but Greg, you raised your kids. You raised your family to seek God. Now, they all have to follow their own paths, but in seeking God. And I thought, okay, I needed that. I did. But we need to understand that it is the Holy Spirit that will give that gift. These gifts a believer receives are to serve Christ and the church. Whatever serving the church, whatever serving Christ, and to minister to people to lead them to Christ. You've been gifted. You've been gifted with the Holy Spirit. God's love is in you. We can love people into the kingdom. You may not know what to say. You may not. But the Holy Spirit will teach you. He will guide you into what you say. Look at Romans 12 for me. We have different gifts. Everybody in here. Some we have the same, different. According to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is lead, do it diligently. If it is show mercy, do it cheerfully. There's just a small fraction of the spiritual gifts that are given right there. If that's your gift, do it. There are people who are gifted and have been able to support churches financially. There are people that are gifted that can, singers, beautiful voices worshiping God and leading people to Christ. Or you could be that person that by the way you work on your job, you're being a witness for Christ. All these different things are gifted by God. We should feel very blessed because God gifts us. Not that we earned it or deserve it. Notice how this verse here, it says, he goes, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers. So this whole section we're going to look at, just like this, is talking to believers. It's for us, all of us, believers. It says concerning spiritual gifts. He says, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be uninformed. And I like that. Paul doesn't want them to be uninformed. Here's another reason God just kept confirming why I go verse by verse through the Bible. We all need to be informed of things. And it's the Word of God. God gives the spiritual gifts. It doesn't matter how bad a person wants a gift, God gives as He sees fit. We may pursue, we may ask for certain gifts, but it's up to God. He gives them. A spiritual gift may be given. We're to seek God, and this is important. When that gift has been given to you, seek God in His wisdom into how we're to use that gift. Holy Spirit, you've given me a gift to whatever. How do I use it to glorify you, God? What do I do here? So how do we use the gift of gifts here that God's given us? We seek the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit gives us a gift, Holy Spirit, tell us what to do. Pretty simple. And it's through His Word. God has given us the Holy Spirit. If we seek the Holy Spirit for guidance and by studying His Word, that's how we'll understand what we're to do. It is seeking the Holy Spirit and His Word. If we're not seeking His Word, I don't know how many, it's almost every day, in fact, or throughout the day, I'll be asking Lord, what am I to do in this situation? You got to tell me. And I may pick up, start reading it. I won't even get three verses and, oh, got it. That's why I keep telling you, this is the most blessed book you can have. It's God's holy word. It is amazing. Now, one thing you'll learn is your particular calling for that gift, and that may change over time. So you may not have the same gift forever. It's as God yields for glorifying Him, to reaching the lost. You may be called into children's ministries or any other type of ministry. But over time, that may change. That may change. I was looking and I go, well, God, how did you do this with me? And I started to write this down. I was in children's ministries for years, teaching all different ages. I served on a youth crisis hotline for years. Every Friday night, Cindy and I were on a youth crisis hotline. Calls come in from all over the United States. And they were directed to us working on Friday nights and call and talk to them. I was in a prison ministry for years, going to the prison. Men's ministries. Street witnessing. That was fun. The first time I ever went out, I was a brand new Christian. I didn't know what to say. I really didn't. I was scared to death. But it's okay. God got me through it, and I was able to do it. To an elder in the church. Now He's got me pastoring. God may move me into something else. Whatever it is, I'm going to go or do. Because that's where the gift is. But He hadn't told me to move or change now. But He can, as needed. It's for His glory, not mine. He may say, hey, I need you to go to another country. I may need you to do this. Okay, that's what I'm going to do. The Word of God will guide you as the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. Look at 2 Timothy. All Scripture, that means every single word that's in this book, is God-breathed. That's the Holy Spirit. God breathes the Holy Spirit. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking. There are times you have to do that. Correcting and training in righteousness. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's how we know. It's His Word. That's why we want to study it. Read it constantly. God, what are you telling me? What are you showing me here? In this area of studying the Scripture, I would like this church to be like the church that was in Thessalonica, which is the church that Paul wrote in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, okay? This is what I'd like. Look at Acts 17 for me. Now, the Berean Jews were those of noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see what Paul said was true. Are you examining the Scriptures to making sure I am saying the truth? I hope so. I'm human. I can make a mistake. I go to great details not to. But things can happen. But that's the way I want our church that the message goes out and you're seeking the scriptures going, okay, I write them in the bulletins. You can look over them again. Oh, I see. And as you look over in your scripture and say it's here, you'll read before and after. Get more insight, more enlightening. God's going to show it to you. Now, so he's talking about spiritual gifts, and he says, you know, in verse 2, that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However you were led. Okay, during this time in history, Christianity was at the very beginning, its stages. And my personal devotion, I'm going through Acts again right now. Acts is really good, how the early church came about and what happened in Christianity. Many of the people in the church were in some sort of a false religion, or what they would call pagan worship. People were worshiping many forms of false gods, little g gods. The stars in the sky, the sun god. So many even were made by men's hands. If you read Paul's book to the Ephesians, where it talks about the great god of Artemis, and going to Acts on that, where they made metal objects that were gods. And there was an uproar in Ephesus because people were ditching that and going to follow Christ. And so the guys making it were not making money. And you think about even those that they make, they can't move on their own. And there was a lot of that going on. But think about today. How does this tie in to what's going on today? How many false religions are there? Well, I'll tell you. And I'll keep it simple. Okay? It's about as simple as I can do it. Every single religion out there is false other than Christianity. Period. All religions other than Christianity, it all focuses on who is Jesus. They deny who Jesus Christ is. And we're going to get to that in verse 3. Now, excuse me. People today worship all sorts of things. You know, the stars in the sky? Well, they call it astrology now. Right? How many people, I hope none of you are reading astrology. It's false worship. Climate change. Oh, that's hot. Oh, yeah. We got to get on the climate change bus, right? Wrong. Sports figures. How many worship sports figures? Yeah. Actors? How about musicians? Oh, yeah, yeah. Huh. How about money? How many worship money? How about possessions? Pagans, what they're calling pagans, today we call unbelievers. You're worshiping something. It's either Jesus Christ or something else. One or the other. When you accepted Jesus Christ into your life, you became a believer. That is a true believer. A Christian. A follower of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit came in you. Now, this is the truth with the Corinthians also. So many of them were coming out of this pagan style of stuff at this time. They, as well as many Christians today, had followed the world and its ways. Everybody's following the world unless something to do with that. Now, they're following Christ and they're being led by the Holy Spirit. Have you ever noticed that being led by the Holy Spirit, a lot of things don't seem to matter much anymore? Yeah. The more you start following, the more you're going, that stuff just doesn't seem to mean much anymore. It's just interesting. Now, with spiritual gifts, there are gifts out there that can be misused. And some of the Corinthians were guilty of this. Just like today. Gifts are being misused, and prophecy and tongues are the ones that are often out there not right. Prophecy and tongues. And as I looked at that and I was thinking about, in the Old Testament, especially if you find this fascinating, a dear friend of mine, him and I talk all the time together. What Israel went through during their history, you might as well put the United States falling right down the same path. Blessed by God, and we just like crazy. And I was rethinking about all the Old Testament, how many advisors to the kings that would tell them, yeah, God's with you, go into battle. And they should have never done that. Today, sometimes people call wishful thinking prophecy. Same back then. If it doesn't happen, it's false. There was over 360 some prophecies given to the coming Messiah. Christ filled every single one of them. People can read things into scriptures. This is where I want you as a church to be very knowledgeable and very sharp. That something comes up and it's a little off, you go, wait a minute, what's that? And you get your book out. I want that. That's why I say study the scripture. That's why I say, and I want you to be like that church in Thessalonica that is studying the scriptures, that you know this. Because they can take scripture and put something that isn't there. And they can distort it just a little bit. Just a little bit. Satan did it when he tempted Jesus. Jesus had wandered for 40 days without water, wilderness, food and water. And Satan came to him and tempted him. And every single one, Jesus would say, no, that's, I'm paraphrasing, that's not what scripture says. This is what it says. All you do is alter it a little bit. We're going to see all this in verse 3 here. When you alter it a little bit, it changes the meaning. It changes that meaning. Now, when you talk about tongues, I had an individual, I'm going to say about 25 years ago, tell me, I'm going to teach you how to speak in tongues. I said, no, you're not. I can't teach you tongues. You can't teach me. Nobody can teach you tongues. And people want to, I've got the gift of tongues. And they use it to elevate themselves above others. God gives the gifts. They may or may not. I don't know. But you cannot teach another person tongues, period. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And I'll repeat myself again. Spiritual gifts are given to glorify God. If people are using those tongues or things, what are they trying to do? Glorify themselves. You know, and I can remember sitting at times in a church, and when you're studying the Word and listening, and you'll go, oh, yeah. Amen, Lord, that's good. And you're thinking to yourself, wow, you opened up something to me there, Lord. But what about the one that's sitting there going, amen, preacher? Yeah, yeah, you got it, preacher, yeah. Who are they trying to exalt? Themselves. And they're trying to draw attention to themselves. Because I'd realize I'd go like this and go, and then I would lose train. Anything takes your focus off what is being, God's word being taught. That's all flesh. That's all flesh. And we need to understand that. It's always given to glorify God and the church. The Holy Spirit gives gifts to glorify and exhort God. And He is there to help us worship God. The Holy Spirit is there to help us worship God. Look at John 4, verse 23. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For there are all kind of worshipers the Father seeks. That's us too, the Gentiles. God is Spirit, and His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. When you come into worship in here and you are worshiping, ask the Holy Spirit to help you worship God more, to help you. Worship time before is to prepare your heart and mind to receive God's holy word, to worship God and to receive His holy word for understanding, to draw you closer to God. And that's the point of it. Verse 3, because as we look at these next three chapters, it gets really into all sorts of gifts. Then Paul says, therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. There's a problem that's going on in the Corinthian church, and it happens today in some churches, speaking false messages. And I've heard some on the television, I'll go, that ain't right. No. And I flip to my book and go, thanks, Lord. There it is. Nope, you're wrong. By this verse, now when I looked at this verse and I really divided it up here, it says, therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. So there could have been, I'm looking at options here. There could have been someone speaking in tongues that may have altered the saying of Jesus is Lord. Possibly. These are possibles. This could have been also the fact that they altered what Paul had told the church in Galatia. When I tied it in with Galatians, maybe you'll see this. Put up Galatians 3:13 for me, please. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hung on a pole or on a tree there. Possibly somebody could have misinterpreted that. He went on the cross for us. And so I thought possibly that could have been. But when you change scripture just a little bit, you change the meaning. That's why I want us like that church. You're studying the scriptures. You're keeping me on the straight and narrow. And you're growing. And why I say that? Satan likes to change scripture like he did when he tempted Jesus. Just a little bit. Now, if I were to say, and many of you, well, all of us are old enough to remember, Jim Jones over there in Africa, where he got to drink this poison. What about the lunatic that was going to, his church was going to catch this rocket into a comet or something in San Diego? If you say something like that, most people go, no, that's whack out. But how do you deceive? You're close. You're just off a little bit. You're just off a little bit. It's how you can deceive. Now, you may be saying, did the person misunderstand this? Possibly. Or did he repeat this not quite right without checking the scriptures himself? Understand, and I wanted to give you a really good example of this, that I think people do this all the time, and I've heard this one many a times. Put up for me 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. How many have heard that money is the root of all evil? Yeah. The love of money. Do you see how the changing of those, taking out that two words? Money is not the root of evil. The love of money is. So this was the example that I got to show, because this is how you can omit something. There is a false religion that changes John 1:1. In the beginning was Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The New World Translation says, and the Word was a God. One letter. A. The Word was a God. That's New World Translation. You get that Bible, throw it out the window. That's somebody's witnessing book. So this is why I say I want this church to be like the church in Thessalonica. You're studying the scriptures. You're studying them. You know them. Something comes up, you're going to, whoa. I may not know where I read that. And we have the blessing of having internet. Where does it say something to that effect? Whoop, boom, and it'll give you a whole bunch different. Then you check it. You look in your own book and check it. We are to search the scriptures. We're to search and grow and know them so that we cannot tap. So when we claim, what we claim must be what the Word of God says. That's why I always tell you, have your books with you when I teach. Have them. Look, make sure I'm right. Also, when I show you a scripture and you're looking at you read it, I would always read paragraph before, paragraph after, give me more insight into it. Because understand, it has to be the truth of God. Period. The world out there has so many false messages. So many. People do not know what the truth is. They don't know. Jesus said, I'm the truth. I'm it. You want the truth? Jesus Christ. If we are giving the truth of God's word, think about this. If we, when you're sharing, are giving the truth of God's word, now the Holy Spirit can use it to touch the person's heart. When you somebody's going through a tough time and you open up scriptures and you say, that opens the door for the Holy Spirit to touch that person's heart with God's truth. Instead of having somebody say, well, you know, we're all good people. We all do good. No, we want the truth. This opens the door. When they hear the word of God, it opens the door for the Holy Spirit to work. I think it's amazing to me. People need to hear the truth. They truly do. They need to hear it, point blank. Now, not everybody's going to follow this. Not everybody's going to do that. But we've done our part. We've shared the gospel. We've done it. But they need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. They need to. That God loved them so much that he sent his son to die for them. And he raised him from the dead, put him at the right hand of God, and all who believe in him have eternal life with God. Put up John 8, 31, 32 for me, please. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. That is why I teach the word of God. You hear the truth. You follow the truth. You're his disciples. You're set free. You're set free. You're set free from the bondage of sin. You've been set free. What a blessing that is. Look at Proverbs 12. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Jesus Christ is truth. His word is true. It is forever. It is eternal. Lying tongues, Scripture says a moment. That's how long it lasts. I don't want to repeat it again, but I like to. I want us to search the Scriptures and hear what we're taught. Because there are false teachers out there. I know. I listen to people on radio. I listen to people on television. I know which ones I really like and they're dialed in. But there's others out there that I go. And there's nothing worse than I'll watch a preacher or some. And in, with a large church. And they'll scan the camera over and 1,000 people or 10,000, I don't know. And nobody has this sitting in their lap. There's a problem. That's a problem. Who's checking? Who's going? Is that what it says? Who's checking? There's a lot of false teachers out there. Look at 1 John 4. Dear friends, this is what John tells the church. Dear friends, that's believers, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God. How are you going to do that? Right here. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. How are you going to know if somebody's teaching you false? How does it line up with this? How does it line up? Now, some of the false religions, and there are a lot of religions that are very, very close to Christianity. Okay? But in this verse is where they alter it. And that's what I was getting to. Verse 3. When it says, now we went over it where it says, I want you to understand, no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. The last part is what I'm focused on. Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. And you go, well, I get it. Well, I'm going to show you something here. Many, in fact, all false religions, they'll say, yeah, Jesus is Lord. Yeah, Jesus is Lord. We've heard that, right? We've all heard that Jesus is Lord, and so people can say it. Jesus is Lord. But they deny who is deity. They deny him being God. And I'm going to show you here. This is why we study the scriptures, so that you'll know. When you go, the original Bible, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, which I have books to translate for me. The New Testament was written in Greek, which I have books that transfer to the language in Greek. Do you see where it says Jesus is Lord? Do you see the word Lord? The actual word there used is kyrios. Means, the actual meaning of kyrios is God himself. Jesus is God himself. Jehovah is proclaiming sovereign Lord of the universe. So you see, what I'm trying to get at, if people can say it, they can word and mouth whatever they want. Scripture tells us by studying it, right there it says, Jesus is God himself. All the other false religion deny that Jesus Christ is God. Jesus said, if you deny me, I'll deny you before my Father. If you deny he's not God, you're not even talking to the Father. Period. That's why we study the scriptures. To call Jesus Lord is to acknowledge his deity. He is God himself. We've studied that at Christmas. The Son coming, Emmanuel, God with us. All the different terms used for him. A person who has the Holy Spirit. This is why you have to have the Holy Spirit. In him declares Jesus is God. If you don't declare he's God, you know there's no Spirit. No Spirit, no eternal life. A person who does not have the Holy Spirit does not, he declares Jesus is not God. Believers acknowledge Jesus Christ in their heart as Lord of their life. And a person can only do this by having the Spirit of God dwelling in him. See how it kind of just goes like this? It ties all together. You have to have the Holy Spirit. You ask Christ into your life right now, God will come into your life. And then you can say, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my God. Understand, a person can do this by having the Spirit of God dwelling in them. Jesus is Lord is not just saying it by our mouths. It means our life belongs to him. We surrender all to Christ. And he is the sovereign God of all the universe. The Son of God. He's it. If you deny that, you're denying him. Just like in the Corinthian church, it's the same today. For truly, and you'll hear me at times say, true believers. True believers. Because a lot of people can say, yeah, Jesus is Lord. Do they truly believe it? I don't know. I'm not the judge. Today, some say the words. They do. Are they a true believer and believing that he is fully God, came in the flesh? Or just saying the words? Understand that no spiritual truth can be used effectively by God without the leadership of his Spirit. Period. Look at John 16, verses 13. But when he... Okay, that is the third person of Trinity, and I want you to see that. But when he... There's one false religion that says, well, the Holy Spirit's a force. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's the third one. He, the Spirit of truth, comes. He will guide you into all the truth. The Holy Spirit's going to guide us into what? Jesus. He's the truth. He is God in the flesh. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me. Jesus is speaking here. He's going to teach us to glorify Christ. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Jesus is going to... Go tell him. All that belongs to the Father is mine. Everything that belongs to the Father belongs to Christ. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. The Holy Spirit. You have to have that to be saved. With the Holy Spirit, you can say, Jesus is Lord. Exactly what it says here, Kyrios. God himself. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot do that. So folks, we're really going to get into some exciting stuff here. But I wanted to spend a lot of time right here in these three verses so that we're grounded and we're heading into the spiritual gifts. And you may find out, you may start going, wow, you know, God has gifted me to do this, this, or whatever that case may be. What a blessing it is. What a blessing it is. But that changes too as he gifts. And like I say, I got to do all sorts of things in ministry. And I still remember when he called me to do pastoring. I was like, no, Lord, I can't stand up in front and talk in front of people. He's got a sense of humor, doesn't he? Yeah, you're going to stand up there. Okay, it's his will, not mine, folks. So if he calls you or guides you to do something, do it. You'll be blessed. Let's close in prayer. Father God, I want to praise you and thank you for your holy word, Lord. By your word, Lord, by the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, we just love you all the more. And I pray, God, that this body's heart and minds would be wide open to you and to you alone, Lord. And I want to praise you and thank you, God. And as we look at these things, Lord, and we look at your word, we thank you. We have your word with us all the time, Lord. The Spirit of truth is dwelling in us. And we praise you and we thank you. Lord God, we just give you all glory and all honor in everything we do and say. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have any questions about yourselves, like, wow, do I really believe that? Ask God. Ask God. And you may have some questions coming up because it's exciting. I've been looking forward to teaching this a lot. It's exciting to learn. Okay, come on up. We'll worship the Lord.